Let us pray again. Father, now we come to your time where we open your word. Lord, we look forward to seeing what the Holy Spirit will reveal to us. And Lord, I pray that what it does reveal will touch each person as you would have it to them. Give them what they need in this hour and in this moment from your word, Lord. We thank you. Please remove me from it and let the Holy Spirit speak for itself. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here we are, and like I said a couple weeks ago, seems like last year, and I know that's a joke, and I've heard it about 1,000 times this morning. But a few months ago, I said that some of your sermons are very easy to write. You're going to have, you know, your Thanksgiving sermon, your Resurrection Sunday sermon, your Christmas sermon, and your New Year's sermon, and as well as your Mother's and your Father's Day sermon. They're kind of built in the way our culture and our society has. Well, this is going to be, you can technically say it's the first for the year, or you can say it's the last in the series. Either way, you would be correct. But we're going to talk about new births, new situations, new circumstances, because we come to mark the new year. Now, I've done reached a point in my life where there's no more champagne flutes and funny hats and sunglasses and that weird-looking pair of sunglasses, you know, that's got 2023 across like you saw in New York. I don't stay up all night to watch the ball drop. The only thing I see drop is my head onto the pillow. Because to me, marking a calendar, switching over to a new year, is just par for the course. I'm thankful that I can see the new year. I told Brother Dale this morning when he come in, I said, we made it through another one. And we have. But you know, there is call sometimes to mark newness of things. And the new year gives us the opportunity to mark a new beginning. It's more than just that chance to party and sing Auld Lang Syne. It's the opportunity that affords us a chance to contemplate a Christian's newness in life in Christ. Now, we all desire places in our lives that we find ourselves to start over. Now, I'm not talking about being forced to start over. I'm talking about where you willingly go in and do things differently and do things anew. Imagine life where the slate you have been wiped clean, no past failures are counted against you, and only the future carries your attention. We sometimes desire those types of situations. Now, with human beings, unfortunately, this is impossible. Had a discussion this morning about when the Jewish nation, God commanded them in the year of Jubilee to forgive all debts and to free all slaves and to return all the lands that were bought to their ancestral houses. And you notice they never did it. They were commanded to do it, but they never did it. And God was not too happy with that situation. We could say the same thing now. We come to these new years, we party, we say it's a new beginning, we make resolutions. But you know, when you wake up on January 2nd, you got the same bills, the same problem, the same health. Everything is exactly the same. So it's a false thing to wish that when you have a new year, everything starts over. There's only one time in your life that the things that are most important have a new beginning. And that is with Jesus Christ. There's no exception. All things are possible with God, including new beginnings. Now, how do I know this? Well, I want to talk to a fisherman, a fellow by the name of Peter. You might have heard of him. 1 Peter chapter 1, the very first things it talks about. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 together. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 5, and I'm going to be reading out of the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible today. And it begins thus, 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen, living as exiles, dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Yes, good old Peter. Peter gives us this message of hope from all those years ago. Notice what it said. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This same Peter, he had several opportunities to start over, didn't he? Situations in his life. The same man who told Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," when Jesus got in his boat and was preaching to those on the seashore. Another time, Peter denied the very Lord the night that he was arrested, when that little girl said, "Aren't you one of them?" And he said, "I don't know what you're talking about, girl." And he swore. And then the cock crowed in the distance. So if the Lord granted Peter new opportunities and new life, and as he said, a new birth, a fresh life, then He will do the same to us if we come to Him in repentance and faith. See, that's the two things we need to do. It's not just, "Oh Lord, can I start over?" No, we have to come to Him in repentance and faith, and then He will grant us the opportunity to start over. So let's break down that message that Peter gave us in verses 1 through 5. Starting from the beginning again, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen living in his exiles, dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this letter was written to those primarily, and if you look in the back of your Bible and you see in what is modern-day Turkey, all these places that were listed, Asia Minor was the entire country of what we would call Turkey. And you had scattered on the north shore and on the south shore and over toward the Mediterranean. All of these provinces. And they were also under the control of Rome. And Peter states plainly that these saints were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Now let's not get too deep into that right now, but I want us to understand, I have always said that God knows who is going to love Him and who He doesn't, because He's all-knowing. But He doesn't let us know. Why? Because if He did, we would do what a lot of people say and say, "This group over here is going to heaven and this group's going over to hell, and can't change a bit of it." You can change a bit of it when the Holy Spirit moves you to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And when that happens, you are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son of glorious light. And you have a new birth, a new beginning. So God knows, but He doesn't let you know. And I consider that a gracious gift of the Father. And these saints were saved by the sanctifying work of the Holy Ghost, and their obedience led to the washing by blood of Jesus unto their salvation. What does that mean? That means that the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, by the grace given to God through faith, the Holy Spirit entered into these people, and they were born again. The second birth, the new birth. And because they did that, the blood of Christ effectually removes the sin that they have committed, or are committing, or will commit. Now, hear me. That does not give us license. That does not say, "I have my fire insurance, so I'm going to go live the way I want." No. If you are born again, if you are a new creature in Christ, the old has passed away, you no longer want to do any of that garbage that you did before, because you are a new person. We're talking about new birth, starting over, a new year, a new life. It can't be new if you're still doing the old. But thanks be to God, when He washed you by the blood shed on the cross, the old man was put away, and the new man came to the forefront. We are washed by the blood of Jesus unto our salvation. Going back again to verse 3 and 4 and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, there are several important points in that. In fact, I could take each one of those verses and each one of those sentences and preach for the next 6 months on these. They're that important and that strong. I won't do that, but I could. So what are these points? The first is God's mercy led to His gift of the new birth, the new beginning. God has mercy upon us. And don't we deserve that? You know, there's a lot of people that run around saying, I demand justice. You don't deserve justice. You don't want justice. If you got justice, then not a one of us in here would be going to heaven. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All means all. But God has this quality that He wants to show us, and He wants us to also exhibit of mercy. Mercy. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is God's unmerited favor, forgiveness, love, all sown into one for you to receive something you don't deserve. And when you start saying, well, I'm good enough, I've not done this, I've not done this, look over here at so-and-so, they did this, that, and the other. I'm good enough. No, you are not. The Bible tells us, and we've got to understand, that before a holy God, there's nothing we can do except believe. We can believe, and we should believe. And when we believe that it is God's mercy that grants us the gift of eternal life. How did He do that? Through the merciful gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. We just got through celebrating that. And it's something we should always celebrate. So that's the first point. The second point is just as our first birth brings us into this world, the new birth brings us into a living hope. That's the next world. Life everlasting. Eternal salvation. However you want to phrase it. You know, to come into this world, you got to be born. You've got to have a womb that carries you. You've got to come into this world naked and alone. But you see, when you go into the next world, you're not naked. You're clothed with the love of Christ. And you're not alone. You have not just Christ, the Father, the Spirit, all the ministering spirits, the angels. You have every Christian that's ever lived as your brother and sister in Christ. You are not alone. The devil tries to tell you. Lord knows he's tried to tell me a million times over the years. You're by yourself. You're alone. No, you are not. As long as you have the Spirit of God with you, you have access to everything that God does and everything that God is. So, when you are born through the blood of Christ into the new hope, the new life, you are born into a new world, a new existence. Yes, you still got your feet and your eyes and your ears and your nose and everything else in this world, the physical world. But folks, this physical world is passing away. We see it every day. We hear it every day. I don't understand it. How the world can say, right now and right here is the best you can have. It's all you need. It's passing away. Let me ask you this. You park a Ford truck in the field and you don't move it, what happens to it? It turns into a rust bucket. Right? The only thing you're going to be able to do is grow ant beds in the tires. You've got to have gas and you've got to have oil and you've got someone who will take care of it and drive it and change the tires. Don't talk to me about tires. I had another flat yet 2 or 3 days ago. Luckily, we recovered this time, so it wasn't a big deal. But I'm going to tell you what. You've got to have something driving you inside you. That means you're not alone. That means someone's with you. They took out that old oil, that old man blood in you and put in a heart of flesh with life inside you. And you're in a new world now. Isn't that a miracle? So this new birth and living hope we learn from our passage today is granted through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is very important to us. Why? Because without Christ, we are walking zombies. We are dead in our trespasses and our sins. You know, I kind of laughed at myself on the other day. I saw an advertisement for The Walking Dead. It's a zombie show on one of the cable channels. But they switched immediately from that to Times Square. Think about that for a second. How accurate that was. I'm sure there might have been some Christians in the crowd. Who knows? But you see, without Christ, we are walking dead men. We're walking dead women. We have no hope. We have nothing except what we have right here. And what did I just say was going to happen to the world and all the things in the world? They're going to pass away. And we cannot, we should not, and we cannot put our hope and trust in something that will die. Therefore, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, He stayed alive. He didn't die again. You know, when we read about the other resurrections in the Bible, Lazarus and the widow of Nain's son, and you go back into the Old Testament and the kid that Elijah and them raised, they died again. Because it is appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. But Jesus Christ did not re-die. He is alive forevermore. He ascended unto heaven from which He will return to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. And brothers and sisters, I want to proclaim that over and over and over. Because without the resurrection, we have no hope. There is no such thing as reincarnation. There is no such thing as being born to a higher level. If you die without Christ, you're separated from God for an eternity. But thanks be to God that Christ took our punishment and allowed us to become new creatures. New. That's the emphasis today. We are new. And then when we are born into this new world, it tells us that we are born into an inheritance that will not go away. That's eternal security. Now you've really got to be saved. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to confess Him, all the stuff that Romans 10 tells us to do. You can't play a game saying, oh, I believe in Him, and then you act like you don't. But if you are truly saved, which I believe you can be, nothing can take you out of God's hands. Nothing. That includes yourself if you are really born again. Eternal security just means that. You are eternally secure in the hands of God forever and ever and ever. Amen. And nothing can change that. Because we, when we are born again, when we have this new birth, we are born into that state of eternal security. Will you still mess up on occasion? Yes. We are constantly tempted by the devil. Christ Himself was tempted by the devil, but yet was without sin. But yet Peter and Paul and all those guys, David, all those that were close to God, yes, they sinned after they had a relationship with God. But what did God do? He forgave them. He forgave them. Because when we are in that new eternal security, when we do sin, we don't want to sin. We instantly realize what we have done wrong and we repent and turn back to God and He forgives us. What about old so-and-so? He goes to church, but he does this and he does that and he does this. You know, the Bible tells me that I'm not to judge between a man and his servant. I'm going to leave that between that person and God. All that I can attest for is myself and as the head of my family. And in my particular situation, the pastor of this here church. I've got to answer for a lot of things. And sometimes in the deepest dark of the night, I tremble. At the same time I tremble, I remember that God has it all in His control and that nothing can take me from the palm of His hand. Because I have an internal and eternal inheritance that will never fade away. And it says that this inheritance which we are born into is kept with Christ in heaven until that day our faith is made sight. You see, as much as God blesses us down here, brothers and sisters, and He does, amen? It's nothing compared to what awaits us. That is our hope. I heard an old guy say, I don't believe in some pie in the sky God. And I said, well, God isn't a pie in the sky God. He is a real God that gives us real promises. And He's not broke one. And He will not break one. And among those promises is that we have this inheritance that is kept for us in heaven. That means when we close our eyes here and we open them in the next millisecond in the presence of Jesus, our inheritance is there before us. And our inheritance, more than anything else, is to be with Him. To be with Christ. And I look forward to that day. And this inheritance that we receive is imperishable. That means it will not die. It is undefiled. That means this inheritance cannot be corrupted. No one can mess up what God has in store for you. And lastly, it said is unfading. And that means it will never lose its glory. Why will it never lose its glory? Because it is with God Himself. You know, when I read the passages from Ezekiel and Isaiah, and even some so in the ends of Daniel, and then John in the throne room of God in the book of Revelation, I'm amazed because they, like I would fall on my face terrified from the glory and majesty of God. But do you notice in most of those, there comes the words, fear not, or there comes someone to lift them up beside to be with them, and God addresses them man to man. What I long to hear man to man from my Savior is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. I don't care what else I hear in this world. Nothing is going to compare to when I hear those words. Because those words are imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And then lastly, in this text from 1 Peter 1:5, it tells us that God's power guards us through our faith. Now, what does that word guards us literally mean? It means to protect, and it means to keep us intact. None of us are going to lose any part of us. God's not going to break off an arm or a leg or poke out an eye or anything like that. He's going to keep us. How does He keep us, though? It tells us through our faith. We believe, and when we believe, we act on that belief. And in acting on that belief, we proclaim the glory and the majesty and the beauty of God Almighty through Jesus Christ the Son. And God's power protects us from anything that would try to take us away from Him. And brothers and sisters, every one of us who is an adult in this room right now understands that when we get close to God, guess who's coming after us? Guess who's going to lie to us? Guess who's going to point out everybody else's failures? We understand this. But you see, it's through our faith in God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that He guards us from listening to such garbage. I got to be careful. I almost said something I shouldn't have said. Because that's what I consider the lies of the devil. And all this that we've talked about today is an incredibly wonderful new beginning for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Think of this. A baby that is born into a wealthy and powerful family in which one day he will assume his position in that family. When he is born, he already owns all that he is inheritance, all that he will inherit. It's already his. But does he receive it at that moment? No. He cannot give anything other than a few dirty diapers. He cannot say anything other than a babbling and that weird sound they make before they spit up all over you. A baby, even though it is full inheritor of all that the family possesses, cannot take it because he is not yet ready. Brothers and sisters, it is the same for us in the kingdom of God. We are born spiritual babies. We mature. We grow. But in that proper time, in that moment, the family that we are born into, the heavenly family, the kingdom of light, all the inheritance it desires will be given to us. Not because we deserve it, but because of our place in the family as children of God, which we have attained through faith in Christ Jesus by the mercies of Almighty God. It's amazing to me that we can do this. It's that new beginning that we wanted. Yes, on the earthly part, we're still going to have the same problems, the same family members, the same bills, the same debts, the same job. We're going to have all that. But it is passing away. It is passing away. You know, every now and then, especially during the warm weather, Christine and I will find an old cemetery out in the woods or out in the fields around here, and we'll go look. You know, we read the names of the folks that died in like 1853 or 1878 or even now in the 1920s. And they're all by themselves out in the middle of that lonely field. What family is there to mourn their passing now? None, because most of them are buried right there with them. Who remembers this person? No one remembers this person. They might have left some letters or some books or something, or if they're wealthy, they might have an endowment named after them, whoever. But the actual person, who remembers them? But brothers and sisters, when you're in Christ, none of that matters. Because what's down there is going to be reborn and meet back up with your spirit. You still have the effect of love on your family. I remember tales about my great-great-grandparents I never met. I'll meet them in heaven. But at what good people they were, which kind of makes me wonder how the rest of my family ended up the way they were, but that's a whole other story. All our inheritance is stored up. It's that new beginning where before only hell awaited us. Without Christ, that's what waits for those who pass from this world. Where before only hell awaited us, now it's forgiven in Jesus, only eternal life awaits, and I'm talking about eternal life in heaven. Not eternal death in hell, but eternal life in heaven when we have our new beginning in Christ Jesus. Thus, brothers and sisters, as we mark the beginning of this year, Anno Domino, the year of our Lord, 2023. You know, I remember back in high school, back in the 80s, we were trying to figure out how old we were going to be in the year 2000. Seems like that's a long way past people wearing, you know, Y2K hats and all that stuff. Kind of funny now we look at it, but At that time, it was a big thing, wasn't it? But we, brothers and sisters, we've made it to this year. But we also to remember that through the very same Lord who allowed us to be here, we also mark the beginnings of a new birth, a new life, which sees us as new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we should know this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Not only on a calendar, but in our hearts. Do you know that each time that you pray for forgiveness and repentance is there, and you are clean by the blood of Christ? Because remember, 1 John tells us that if we confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we are cleansed, that is a brand new starting over point. Sort of like the weird game of Monopoly where you always pass go and get 200 bucks. Which reminds me, sometimes I want to go paint the word go on the intersection down there and tax every time somebody comes through. Hey, you pass go, give me $200. That ain't going to work though. Didn't go over very well as a joke apparently either. But anyway, y'all got to forgive me. My voice is starting to leave me. So brothers and sisters, let us look ahead and not behind. Y'all have seen the meme on Facebook where it said there's a reason a rearview mirror is much smaller than the windscreen. Why? Because you're supposed to be looking ahead and not behind. If Christ has forgiven you of your sins, you have a new beginning, stop dwelling on the past. Dwell on the now and what God will do for you and what you will do in God in the future, in 2023. How can I do this? First, give glory to God for the future as well as the past. Second, forgive those who need forgiveness. I'm going to preach on forgiveness in the next coming week, so if y'all don't want to hear it, don't show up, but I'm going to preach the daylights out of it because we all need it. We need to heal those who have wounds. Brothers and sisters, every one of us, preachers included, have wounds that some well-meaning or some evil-intended person did to us in the past. Christ heals wounds, but He calls us to bind the wounds. And a wound won't heal properly unless it's bound. And then lastly, we need to share the love of Jesus with all that God puts in our path. Brothers and sisters, when we can do this, we can experience the blessings of the new birth in this new year. God bless you and your families in this new year. May you walk in His light, and may He always keep you focused on His light, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Praise team. So brothers and sisters, it really boils down to this. You want a new start? Go to the person who gives you the new start. You want to be forgiven for things done in the past? Go to the person who will forgive you. You want a new beginning? Go to the one that we read makes a new earth in Genesis 1. And a new earth in Revelation. I have made a new heaven and a new earth. Brothers and sisters, the new earth is yet to come. But you know, the new heaven, the place where God dwells, we're already there in Christ. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. If you're not there, why? What is there holding you to this earth that is so cotton-picking important to you, you willing to risk hell? That bitter feeling you have, that anger you have, that lust you have, that greed you have, that propensity for pleasure that you have, whatever it may be, it's dying. It's passing away when it's gone. Do you think... I got into a conversation with a young man several years ago. Well, let's just say what he is. He thought he was a young buck, man. He was strong. He had a six-pack of abs. I always laugh at him and say, "You got a six-pack? Huh, I got a keg, brother." Some of y'all will get that, some of you won't. But the point is, he thought his whole reason for existence was going out and having a good time, getting the girls, going out, wreaking havoc, sowing his wild oats, as they used to say, until a car crash came along and he was paralyzed from the neck down. He could still talk and think just like he did before, but he couldn't do anything like he did before. Believe it or not, the accident was not his fault. It really was somebody else's fault. But yet, he had to bear the consequences. Now, his mind changed rather quickly. But why do we have to wait until something like that happens? Why do we have to have something horrible happen to us just to get our orders in and get our sails set and to get our ropes pulled and ready to move out into that ocean that we call life? You know, one of these days, some of you Navy guys in here, when they say single up all lines, it's time to go. That means you cast off the rope from the pier and you move out into whatever awaits you. Brothers and sisters, our safe harbor, to carry the naval analogy a little farther, our safe harbor is in Christ. And when we are heading to Him, even though there be storms, even though there be whirlpools, even there be things out there that we never imagined, our harbor is safe because our pilot is sure. Don't wait to make a new beginning. Don't wait to come to God. This may be your last new year. It may not. You may have 30, 40 more new years stowed up in you. You may not have 30 or 40 minutes left either. Brothers and sisters, find that new beginning. Find that new birth. And God will bless you and keep you until you see Him face to face.